DW Africa Link.
I love chocolate made in Ghana. It's a source of pride when I share the sweet stuff with people around the world. However, that sweet joy might soon be more expensive due to a decline in cocoa production. But we are not just here to report the problem. We're here to be part of the solution. So what's going wrong and how do we fix it? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Ghana produced more than 1 million tons of cocoa in 2021. But this year, 2025, output is projected to drop to as low as 400,000 tons. That's a historic decline, and it's putting Ghana's spot as the world's second largest cocoa producer at risk. The economic and social impact? Huge. Cocoa isn't just a crop. It's a lifeline for millions of farmers and a pillar of national pride. The decline in production can be attributed to a variety of factors, including aging cocoa trees, climate change, and low farmer incomes. But don't take it from me, I'm not the expert. Let's talk cocoa issues with Nana Obuadie Boating Bonsu, president of the Concerned Farmers Association of Ghana, and DW's Adjoa Tinkroma Domina in Accra, Ghana. Hello, both of you. Welcome to Africa Link. Nana, really, what is happening to Ghana's cocoa? Because from 2021 to 2025, a lot has changed.
Ghana cocoa is highly in danger. And then it's highly, seriously under threat. And at the moment, we don't have anything that is called cocoa again. Because what we have cannot sustain the way we boast of Ghana cocoa production. At the moment, there are a lot of cocoa that is being diseased. That is one. And two, Galamsey has taken a center space within the cocoa production, which destruction is going on and on and on. As I'm speaking to you, there's a destruction going on within the cocoa sector, which they are cutting down the cocoa trees, doing the mining, illegal mining, you know. And another thing, is farmers moving away from the cocoa production to the rubber plantation, all because they are not making a lot of income from the cocoa sector. So now, most of them, the majority, especially the youth, have moved, and others are also moving from the cocoa sector to the rubber plantation. As I'm speaking to you now, the stand of Ghana cocoa is highly in danger, which need to be properly taking a proper eye care on it. Because if care is not taken, I will not be saying years, but then time will come, which the time starts from today, that there will be no one single cocoa tree in this country.
I mean, what you're describing is quite scary, right? Because Ghana is the second largest cocoa producer in the world. And you're talking about a situation where at some point Ghana may not even have any cocoa production going on. Is it really that bad, Nana?
It is very bad. It is scary. It is very dangerous. It's national security threat. I've said this thing several times, thinking that authorities will approach for we to solve this, but none of them, they've put in wax in their ears. I know what I'm talking about. I have been on the field and my team has been on the field with a program named Identification of Community Challenges, which we've been moving from community to community alongside with the 72 cocoa growing areas. And what we are seeing, it is scary and more than even scary horror than what you are talking about. Because one, you made mention of Ghana being the second largest cocoa producer in the world. That is on paper. I don't believe that. Because every country that have a commodity that sells, that is their backbone of their economy, they take a proper good care of it. When it comes to Ghana, there's no eye on the cocoa. Nobody cares about cocoa. Who cares? Nobody. Because when we talk about cocoa, it is Ghana. And when we talk about Ghana, it is cocoa. And that has been the backbone of this economy for so many years. And ask them. They don't even know what they are talking about. Or they don't even know what the outcome will come. We are on the field. Any commodity that is your backbone or that is something that you make money out of it, you don't joke with it. There's no supervision on the cocoa sector. There's nothing. I said something that the president have to know. I've been saying it in most of the radio stations, the TV stations in Ghana, but then they are not taking it serious. Even the spokesperson of the president, I met him on one of the radio TV stations, and I said there's something that the president have to know. As of now, I've not been approached or I've not been questioned about what is it about and how. All because none of them care. When it comes to cocoa in Ghana, nobody cares. Forget it.
Okay, so this definitely sounds serious. And what I don't really get is, if cocoa really has been the backbone of Ghana for many years, and Ghana has been making quite good money from cocoa, why would people that can make the change decide not to listen to you and others who have major concerns? What do you think the reason is? Because otherwise, it really doesn't make sense.
That shows you that the people there are not there for the cocoa. They are there for their own personal interest. Do you think they care for cocoa? They don't.
Let's go to our correspondent on the ground, Ajoa. Ajoa, I have to be honest, when you pitched this, I didn't think it was that serious. But from what we're hearing from Nana, this is critical. And what are you learning from other farmers that you're talking to, and also members of parliament or authorities that can cause the change? What are you hearing from them?
Well, Eddie, it is indeed critical. From the farmer side, per what Anobwadi has said, and I'll just add slightly to it, we've seen stories, so we've heard farmers lament about how they are being coerced to give off their cocoa farms or lands to illegal miners. In fact, last year, the Ashanti Region Cocoa Board indicated that about 2,000 hectares of land were seized or were destroyed because of illegal mining. And these are lands that are cocoa farms. Not only are these cocoa farms being destroyed, they are lands that are perhaps projected to be arable lands that we can use to produce the crop in the future. These lands are also being targeted. So on the illegal mining front, the danger is imminent and is critical. And that is the farmer's side. There is also the issue about the producer price of cocoa. And maybe this is an overstretch, but it is critical that we bring it in, because for a long time now, the government under the Cocoa Board has been trying to implement measures to curb anti-smuggling of cocoa beans. What happens is that when the farmers feel their crop is not being appreciated to the level of maybe Ivory Coast or how much Ivory Coast is paying its farmers for cocoa, then there is the likelihood or probability that they will smuggle these beans to where the price is higher. And we've seen the president, I think just last week ago, mentioned that they are going to increase the price to at least 70% of the world market price for cocoa, which will help the farmers, you know, ensure fairness in the pricing of cocoa. And that for me is one crucial step towards dealing with the issue. But on the parliamentarians front, on the lawmakers front, and even on the cocoa board front, I see a lot of efforts being given towards cocoa production. The problem is it's not yielding the results that you're looking for. For instance, a group that Nana heads, which is a Concerned Farmers Association, has been drumming this home over a long period of time. And so you can't even say that this is a political issue. Because right. In Ghana, you have the tendency of people saying this is politics. When one government comes and you hear an association drumming home or saying that things are not working. But for me, this organization has been consistent in its cries about cocoa, and we are seeing right. The effects over the years.
Right.
So if 2021, for instance, we had over 1 million metric tons, what happened? Why the drastic change? And now Cocoa Board itself is saying that there is a likelihood that they will not be able to meet the 600,000 target that it has set for itself. So many things are going on. But I also see that there are efforts by the regulators and the government to ensure that the gains we have in the cocoa sector are being, we are getting back the gains from
right.
what I've heard. Yeah.
And we'll definitely talk about the efforts in a bit. Thank you very much, Ajua. We'll get to that in a bit. Let me get back to you, Nana. Just to sort of paint this picture for us, Nana, what will be the impact of this sharp decline of cocoa production for the industry and for the country?
The cocoa sector is in the edge of collapsing. I mean, I said this, that was before the election, that the Ghana cocoa sector has collapsed, all because there's no supervision, there's no properly care for that. And then also the parliament don't even care when we talk about cocoa. Have you ever heard of parliament talking about cocoa? No, they don't care. All of them, all the parliamentarians are thinking of how to make a living. You see, but they've forgotten that it is the cocoa that makes Ghana. So Ghana cocoa, well, for the stand or for now, I would say that it is in the edge of collapsing. It has even collapsed. Because when you get to Western or Christian Huni Valley, that side going, a lot of farmers there now, they have absentee farming. And then two, young people that they moved, they shift all the way. They said they wanted to do the cocoa. Now they've moved from the cocoa production, destroy all the cocoa, the cocoa that they were given to them. And then they are now planting rubber. When it comes to Eastern region, rubber plantation has taken over. A whole mile square was destroyed. We send it to court, court place an order on it, but yet still the people do not respect the court. They went back and then did everything. We report this thing to the national security. Since from 2015 up till now, nothing has been done about it.
Is there a problem with people planting rubber? You've mentioned it a couple of times. How is that impacting cocoa production? If people want to do rubber and make money from it, is that a problem? I mean, illegal mining, which we call galamsey, I understand. But what's the issue with rubber production?
I have no problem with rubber, but then don't destroy an economic tree that has been given for you for free, because government spend money for the seedlings. So if you know you will not plant cocoa, don't go for cocoa seedlings and then waste it. And then when it's time for harvest, you cut it and then you go and plant your rubber plantation. And even with the rubber, Ghana government have only 20% share. But with the cocoa, it is monopoly. He controls it. So why should we focus seriously on the rubber plantation? That is my problem. Because at the end of the day, they are cutting down cocoa rather, replacing it with rubber.
Is it because people are getting more money from rubber production? Or why do you think people are somehow choosing rubber over cocoa?
They are making money. They are making money. Within 3-4 years, we did our documentary that we did, passing through the Pristia Huni Valley and the rest. They were telling us that, listen, Nana, I can't continue to do this cocoa. Even when it's time for me to have chemicals to use it for my cocoa, I don't even get it. And look at my age. I've been doing this thing for the past 40 years, and I'm still where I am. Recently that I got into the rubber plantation, look at my life. I've been able to put a 3-bedroom house. I have a car now. I can take care of my kids at school. And that is the challenge. In the Pristia Huni Valley, when you go to Western Ridge, that is what is happening. So a lot of people there are now replacing their cocoa with rubber, which we are telling them to put a stop to it.
What is Ivory Coast doing right, according to you, that Ghana is not? Give us some practicality here.
Ivory Coast are taking very good care of their cocoa. That is their cocoa, though it is not on high quality, as we claim our cocoa is a premium and higher quality. But they don't joke with their cocoa plantation. You can walk like a 2-mile square and then you see a whole lot of cocoa that has been there. In Ghana, the cocoa, you see small size here, let's say 2 acres here. You see another plantation here. We are doing miscropping, right? They have it on a large scale when it comes. When it comes to disease control, they do control it, you know. When it comes to whatever, I mean, fertilizers issues, that kind of thing. I mean, they do have it. But here, it is not like that. Others will spray DS, others will not spray DS. They said we should replace the new trees. go and see. Most of them, it's still there. The diseased cocoa farms are all over scattered. They are not even allowing the people to cut it. It took with the consent from when Dr. Fria Koto was agri minister for we to do a documentary to meet the farmers to tell them that, please, government have a very good policies or very good something good for you. So allow yourself for your trees to be cut before some of them even allowed it. And then even when it was cut, how to pay them compensation was a problem. So most of the people think that, listen, I will not allow my cocoa to be cut because even when it cut, I will not even get money. But even now that it's even diseased, I can even chop small out of it. That has become our problem. Okay. That is it. And the real institution that need to do the real job, they don't even give them. So that is how it is. When we say it, cocoa board will deny. And then with the smuggling, nobody should tell us that the smuggling is making a shortage of cocoa. It's a lie. The smuggling is few. And the cocoa smuggling will not stop today and tomorrow. Because the genesis of Ghana cocoa was through smuggling. They have to know that. But we are not encouraging smuggling. But what we are encouraging is take proper good care of your farmers, their welfare. Make sure they get what they are supposed to get. If a cocoa farmer have all these things, he'll be happy to do his job. You are now, you see, Ghana government is making the farmer lazy all because now you are giving them workers to be weeding on their farm. How can you do this? In which country will you even hear that the farmers there, they don't even, they've given them labor for them to weed their farm for them? No. The money that you are giving to the labor, the farmer is telling you that, add that money for me. So that even if I buy my cocoa, I sell my cocoa bag of, let's say, 5,000 Ghana Cedi or 6,000 Ghana Cedi, I'll be more happy. This one will increase production.
Right. Ajua, we've listed a lot of the challenges facing the industry, and it's quite a lot, right? I mean, supervision is an issue, compensation, making sure the conditions for the farmers are great. That is also definitely needed. I'm always excited about talking about solutions, but sometimes the frustration is knowing these solutions is different from the implementation, right? And I think that seems to be the main challenge. One of the other main factors also, right, is the fact that illegal mining has been number one when it comes to major issues for farmers for a long time. This new government under President John Dramani Mahama has, at least on paper, you know, really targeted that sector, the illegal mining sector, and want to do away with that. How are they going with that fight, and how could that impact the cocoa industry if it's dealt with and when it's not?
Well, it has to be dealt with, Eddie, because the more you leave cocoa farms at the mercy of galamseyers or illegal miners, they will take and there will be nothing left. And that is the prediction of doom, or yes, that nobody was giving. But in reality, it is a serious issue. In terms of efforts towards curbing illegal mining, there is a holistic effort towards curbing illegal mining in its entirety and not necessarily targeted at cocoa farms. And that may be a problem. I see this as a target issue. So if, for instance, you identify the sectors or the part of the agriculture sector which are being affected by illegal mining, then you target your interventions towards those specific sectors. So for last year, for instance, the example I was giving of the Ashanti region, they actually started a campaign to drive illegal miners off the cocoa farms. That did not yield good results, it didn't really yield good results. What I perhaps want to see from the government is that in terms of offering solutions towards targeting or dealing with the infiltration of illegal miners in cocoa farms, there will be specific interventions for the cocoa farms itself. There are river guards that are monitoring the various rivers that is targeted at river bodies and protecting Ghana's waters. But what about the cocoa farms itself? So on that score, maybe an intervention that the president can give or a directive that he can give, for instance, that no illegal, or maybe even the guards situate them at the farms, the various cocoa farms that we have, collaborate with the cocoa board. I saw recently the new CEO of the cocoa board touring the various cocoa growing areas and interacting with the farmers and trying to find out what the problems are and how they can solve it. You asked a critical question earlier about what Agricose is doing differently. I think over there, the government does not only recognize cocoa as an export earner, but it also recognizes it as a local economy booster. So it is implementing several interventions targeted at influencing and incentivizing the farmers to grow more, to produce more. So if you have maybe farmers earning five times better in Ivory Coast than what they are earning in Ghana, definitely Ivory Coast will remain on the top. On the paper, yes, Ghana is still the second largest exporter of cocoa. But if we as a country continue to focus on just exporting the yields and getting in the money, it will get to a time that even the foreign exchange will not come. And if that happens, the city that has been seeing much stability recently will fail as well. So I think that it leaves much to be done in the cocoa sector, in the government. The earlier it does something about it, the better it will be for not just cocoa farmers, not just for the cocoa sector, but for the country as a whole, because this sector employs nearly 17% of the working population. And it's contributing about 4.5% GDP to Ghana, earning about $2 billion every year in the country. And you earlier also mentioned which sectors are going to be affected. You have the marketers, you have the people who produce chocolate, you have the people who produce cocoa powder. There are a lot of workers who are relying on this sector. Now, if, for instance, I am producing 1,000 bags of cocoa and my yields are reducing, so now I have to produce or work with about 50 bags of cocoa, definitely the people I'm employing will also reduce. So it is connected, and if we do not deal with this issue earlier, it will come back to bite all of us.
Right. Thanks for that submission, Ajoa. I do love my chocolate, but from all that I'm hearing, purchasing that sweet stuff is going to be even more expensive as the months and years go by if something is not done about it. I'm going to give you the final words, Nana. In 30 seconds, you're talking to authorities, you're talking to the government. What does the cocoa industry need right now to set it back on the right course?
What we want the government to know, that there are a lot of things that is happening within the industry. If care is not taken, Ghana cocoa will be banned. Our intelligence from the European Union shows that if Ghana is not careful, our cocoa will not be bought internationally again. So what we have to do now is to wake up, to make sure that the right people go to the ground to do the job. And the report that we also have, that we've even put it across, they should respect it and then make sure that they work on it. Because if they do not work on that report, I think that is going to be the cost. Already, we've given them the challenges, and then the solution is to empower the young people. And then the pricing is the major thing. When the price goes up, it will encourage a lot of people to do their job well. And that is the only thing that can save the Ghana cocoa in Ghana.
Right. Nana Obwadie Boateng Bonsu, President of the Concerned Farmers Association of Ghana, and DW's Ajoa Tinkroma Domina in Accra, Ghana. Thank you very much, both of you. Cocoa is the heartbeat of Ghana's rural economy, supporting 800,000 farmers and their families. But with production plunging, Ghana risks defaulting on contracts, losing market share, and watching farmer incomes collapse. The ripple effect is not just local, it's global. Chocolate prices rise, supply tightens, and the cost of living increases across cocoa-growing communities. Ghana and Côte d'Ivoire supply over 60% of the world's cocoa, making this crisis particularly severe. A reminder, it's not just a crop, it's a lifeline, and its decline could send shockwaves through the global market. So what do you think? Share your thoughts with us on this issue on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening. DW. Made for Minds.